chapter number 12, Romans chapter number 12, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, titled, Keeping It 100. I love it when the kids say that, keeping it real, keeping it 100. Is it 100? Yeah, I know from her through. I think God's coming here in a minute. 100. Got it. I'm still saying it wrong. 100. That's what's wrong with our education system today. Right there. I love you. Every day of our lives, we are presented with the possibilities. The possibilities to enter into new relationships. And with those possibilities to enter into new relationships, we often ponder on the existing relationships that we have. I don't know about you, but I get tired of fake folks.
Amen.
By fake folk, I mean those folks who say that they're your friends.
Yes.
Those folks that say that they're down with you. Those folks that say that they got your back. And those folks who say that they'll never leave you until. Until the storms of life come, and then they walk out of you. Until things get bad, and those fair weather friends, they bounce on you. And what's amazing about those fair weather friends is that most of the time, they are the same people that you went through something earlier in life with. And they bounced on you that time, but you, I'm talking about you, were crazy enough to think that they wouldn't do it again. And so you found yourself trusting the same people. Now you're in the same situation and they do the same thing and you're surprised. The truth of the matter is you really shouldn't be surprised. You should understand you're crazy. A snake is a snake. A dog is a dog. They do what they do. You got some fair weather friends. That's what they do. That's what they do. So in the midst of you going through something, you find yourself standing all alone. And the truth of the matter is there's nothing wrong with standing alone. Because it is when I am standing alone that my ear is open to what God has to say. Because we all have some friends in our lives. They have wonderful advice for you. Child, if it was me, I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't deal with him. I'll kick her to the curb. And then when you take a closer look at their life, you understand the advice that they were giving you. Only if they would try in their own life. You have to be careful who you receive information from. See, because in the midst of you going through something, you got to remember it's your test, not their test. God knows what he needs to present to you so that your body becomes a living sacrifice. The sacrifices in life that is designed for me, they're not yours. And so here I am trying to incorporate what you did 5 years ago with somebody that is different than my situation, and now I'm all jacked up because you came out of your situation jacked up, and I'm listening to you, and now my children jacked up, and the next generation jacked up because we all listening to jacked up folks. When you're going through something, be you. That's all you can really do anyway. You gotta keep it 100. Got it? You gotta keep it real when you're going through something. Now, when you begin to go through something, and here I am saying keep it real, understand what you're going through is to show you. You.
Yes.
I'm getting somewhere.
Amen.
God knows who you are.
Yes.
The devil knows who you are. The issue is you don't know who you are.
Yes.
So when you begin to go through something, understand whatever is presented to you. Satan had a conversation with God and said, have you considered?
All right now.
You hear me?
Yes.
What I'm saying to you is the devil is God's devil.
All right now.
Don't get holy.
All right now.
Don't think about it. What I'm saying is that God is in control even of Satan.
Yeah.
And so if God is in control of Satan, and whatever God allows your way, he says it's just a test. When you're taking the test, you understand that current information. All I got to do is just slide through this thing. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm glad that troubles don't last always, but tough people do. So when Satan comes, he has permission from God. He has permission from God to do specific things with you. He can't do everything he wants to. Because if he could, remember, he comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he could do any old thing to you, none of us would be here right now. That's God's devil. That's God's devil. Meaning at all times in your life, God is in control. Because God is in control, sometimes a loving God will do a funny thing with you. He'll allow your life to be a living sacrifice. He'll allow you to go through something, not because you did something wrong, but because he's trying to minister to someone else through you.
Yes.
This is easy. This is easy. I can stand here and I can tell you scriptures and quote some stuff. This is easy. What you do on Monday morning for 8 hours at work, that's a challenge. Your ministry is really the ministry that is pulling the lost into the kingdom of God. Not this old weak stuff that sometimes we as preachers do on Sunday morning. See, sometimes preachers, you can say amen, I know I'm talking about me. Sometimes preachers are so disconnected from the world. Because all we ever see is saved folk in the church that we give scripture counseling to, and they say amen, act like they really get what you're saying. They go out on Monday morning and curse somebody out on Tuesday, and then they backslide on Wednesday, and then they say, I thought you told me it was easy. Your salvation is free. But it's going to cost you something. You're going to pay to be a child of God. Oh yeah, salvation is by the grace of God. But to keep it, to maintain it, to walk in it, it's going to cost you something. Your body will be the living sacrifice. Somebody will come at you. Somebody will present something to you. But you got to remember, you got to keep it. 100.
Yeah.
If you don't keep it 100,
oh yes.
Paul warns, he says, be not conformed.
Oh, yes.
In other words, if you don't keep it real, you'll do what somebody else is doing. The word conform means to fit in. He says, now if you're a child of God, you are so unique, you won't fit in.
What you say?
As a matter of fact, the more anointing that is upon your life, the weird you look. The more anointing that is upon your life, the less friends you have. The more anointing that is upon your life, the more they'll reject you. The more God in you, the less man would want to do with you.
Yes.
So he says, be not conformed. In other words, he's saying to them, he says, listen, I don't want you to be like everybody else. Because what God has placed inside of you is unique. Think about what your parents had to do for you. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, what he's saying is every child is unique.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So Gloria won't turn out like John.
That's right.
John, you may can jack him up, grab him in his chest, and he'll sit down. But Gloria gonna try you. Oh, you got some children like that. So he says, you gotta know each one of them. God is saying, I know each one of you. I know just what to put on you. I just know where to allow to get you. But I know where I'm taking you. So you gotta understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So even when you're walking through the fire, God says, I'm still taking you a place. Even when it's uncomfortable, God is saying, I'm still taking you a place. Even when somebody stepped out of your life, so God can really step in your life, you need to relax because God is still in control. He sets high, but he looks low. And God judges the heart of man. So he says, don't be conformed to this world. Now, what he's saying is this. He says, don't be conformed. Don't just do the world thing. If you stand for something, then you can stand with someone. But if you got friends that don't stand for nothing, they'll walk out on you. Watch this. So what Paul is saying is that when you say someone is your friend, make sure they have some skin in the game. Because if my name is not on the mortgage, I'll leave you and the house. Because I have nothing to lose. If I don't have some vested insurance or vestments in that relationship, I can walk out. Because it doesn't mean anything to me. If God has never done anything for you, you can walk away from God. Because a relationship with God doesn't really mean anything. But I need to talk to some people who've been going through something. And you can say, come hell or hot water, I will turn my back on God. Because he's been by my side. Stick closer than a brother. Never leave me, never forsake me. I'm talking about a relationship with God. When you got some skin in the game, some relationship with God, where it has cost you something to hang on to a relationship with God, where some folk walked out of you because you wouldn't walk out on God, because some folks said, I don't want to hang with you because you're too holy. I'm glad you said that about me. Call me holy if you like. That's why God keep making ways out of no way for me. Call me sanctified if you like, but that's why God keeps opening doors for me. Be not conformed to this world. If they have no skin in the game, they'll walk out. He says, if you conform yourself to the world, you're copying what the world already has in place.
All right, man.
See, you are a masterpiece.
Have mercy.
You are a masterpiece.
Oh, yes.
God perform everything.
Yes.
And then he thought about you. And it's just like God says, well, let me sit down. Let me fashion and form them. Let me take some time and let me make sure that I know every string of hair that is on his head. Let me take some time to make sure I understand. Now, I know you saved and sanctified, but I'm going to allow you to have some fears in you. But I know, because I fashioned you and I formed you. Now, I need for you to understand all of these things about you. But I need for you to know that my grace is sufficient for thee. I need for you to understand that I'm fashioning you and I'm forming you, but you're not a perfect piece in that you still need me. And I'll put something inside of you, and it's a hole, and you can pour alcohol, sex, drugs, rock and roll, hip, rap, everything in. But God says that's a place inside of you. Not only the Holy Spirit can dwell, for he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, he says, when you dwell in the secret place, he says, there's a place that I'm there, and the world may not see it, but I'm there. There's a place inside of you. Sometimes when you're walking through the valley, you may not even see God, but he's there. Sometimes when you're looking for somebody to talk to you, you may not even hear from God, but he's there in the secret place.
Thank you, Jesus.
To this world.
Oh, yes.
But he says, be ye transformed.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, the word transform, it's metamorphosis.
All right, now.
Metamorphosis means change. Mm-hmm. Watch this. But the change doesn't happen overnight. You have to be careful with people who see you flowing in your anointing and your gift and think that they can just do what you do. I'll hurt myself if I sit over here behind this keyboard. I'll hurt myself because that's not my gift to do. See, you have to be careful that you're doing what God is calling you to do. Sometimes Chuck just sitting there and he's just playing and I'm trying to figure out how his big fingers hit those little keys. Stay in your lane. Just you do you. God gonna take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about somebody else. So what if God blessed them with a big house? I must be next in line. So what if God gave them a new car? I must be next in line. I need to stay in my lane. I need to do what God is calling me to do. If I keep my eyes on him, I'm in relationship with him, he'll take care of me. I may not have what you have in terms of an education, but he favors me in a season. I may not know what you know, but he favors me in a season. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that favor of God is worth more than anything else. I may have no college, no education, no job whatsoever, but when God favors you, God favors you. God will put something in your hand and then say, use what's in your hand. God just doesn't look like enough. He says, use what's in your hand. Take what's in your hand and work with it, baby. Take what's in your hand. Lift it up to God. Take what's in your hand. Give me some praise. Take what's in your hand and release it to me. Take what's in your hand and trust me. Take what's in your hand and count it all joy. Take what's in your hand. He says, be transformed. He says, transform, be changed. Watch this. A crisis is the cradle for change. Don't ever forget that. A crisis is a cradle for change. Yeah, you have this new baby. Can I have your baby? Yeah, I love babies. You have this little baby. And every time the baby start crying, you just cradle the little baby. You want the baby to feel comfortable because you know something is wrong with the baby. That's how much I love him. You can have him back now, baby. In the midst of you going through a crisis, God says, I got you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm cradling
you.
And so, for God to really rock you, He has to first get some people away from
you. What you say?
And so you begin to go through your crisis. And He says, now I got you in the crisis. He says, I need for you to abide in me. And I in you. Now, halfway through your crisis, God says, now what do you call it? See, because what you call it is what it becomes. If you're going through a crisis and you call it trouble, you respond as though it's trouble. If you're going through a crisis and you call it an opportunity to be set free, you respond in that way. See, sometimes we're going through stuff and we call it the wrong thing. God is saying, I'm blessing you right here in this crisis. And you say, God, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Oh, no. And God is saying, I got you. I'm transforming you. See, transformation is a process. Transformation is a process where God have you in something. And say, God is showing you just a little light where He's going to break you free. But right now, you tied up. I need to talk to somebody this morning that's tied up. I need to talk to somebody this morning that's in a relationship and you can't even breathe because you tied up. I need to talk to somebody this morning. Can't put the pill bottle down, the alcohol bottle. You can't put nothing down. Can't put the marijuana down because you're tied up. See, when you're tied up, there ain't but one thing you really want to do, and that is to be set free. Isn't it an amazing thing when God loose you from something? And the thing that you thought you used to need, you discover you don't need it anymore. Isn't it a wonderful thing? When you thought that you would die, they walked out, and you still alive. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you thought they were going to foreclose on your house and just in time God sent somebody and He made a way out of nowhere? Isn't it a wonderful thing when you were going through the storm, you discovered that God would be your friend over troubled water? Isn't it a wonderful thing when the doctor says that you got cancer only to discover by His stripes I'm healed? Isn't it a wonderful thing when your friend walked out on you, but God sent five more that really hold you? Isn't it a wonderful thing when you discover that I'm free and the stuff that I thought I used to need, I really don't need it no more because God has set me free? And see, the reason why a lot of us, we can't give Him praise about being tied up, because when you're tied up, you want to be loose, and when you're loose, you really don't realize that you once was tied up. The norm. Child of God, that is not you. You walking down the street. Hey, how you doing? Doing good, look like it's gonna rain. Pain, no rain. Rain, not pain. Because you anticipate the worst. Somebody come close to your word. Pain, rain, same. You ready to go? Forgetting those things that are behind. Gotta press, man. I got to reach for something. I got to gotta reach for some stuff. Because I know what God has said to me. Let me say this in close. And that is, don't allow people to label you. Because the best part of the story, when you get home, verse number 3, where it says that God deals with every man according to the measurement of your faith. Take my house. You can take everything, but I still got faith. Now faith is the substance, not even all of it, just a little grain, just a little peephole, just a little vision that one day it's going to be okay. See, everything that you've gone through in life was to make you who you are today. I've been through this before. It may have been with a different person, but I've been through this before. I've experienced this before. Maybe in a different season, but I experienced this. If God brought me through that time, He'll do it again. He'll do it again. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, myself in situations and circumstances, and I'm saying, God, I'm crying out to you. God, will you deliver me? I know God hears me, but when? See, sometimes God will allow you to go through something so that He can put a song in your heart. May not sound good to nobody else, baby, but it's my song. It sounds good to me. Every now and then when I'm going through something, I need to be reminded what God spoke in my spirit one time. He says, I'm coming out. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how dark it is. But I'm coming. Because a lot of you don't get it. But that was another song, Kurt. It says, busting out. I'm rejecting the devil in the man. Keeping that 100. Stay real. Stay real. As the children come to minister to you, I'm come on, children. What I want to say to you is this, is that you are created in the image of God. Because you were created in the image of God, God knows you. He knows everything that you need to go through.
Yes, Lord.
And so sometimes in life, God allows you to go through some things. And as you begin to go through those things, and you say, when, God?
Yes, Lord.
He wants you to reflect back on a time.
Yes, Lord.
Where you have to imagine Him. Because if He did it one time, He'll do it again. Imagine Him. Imagine.